Mitte November wurde ein Skinhead aus der Moskauer Antifa-Szene von Nazis ermordet. Dies ist leider kein Einzelfall. In diesem Jahr haben Nazis über 50 Menschen umgebracht und 280 verletzt. In den Vorjahren waren es noch mehr. Die Opfer sind hauptsächlich Menschen mit sogenannten nicht-slawischen Aussehen, Alternative und Antifas. In den letzten Jahren hat sich die Brutalität und der Organisierungsgrad der russischen Nazi-Szene enorm verschärft. Immer häufiger gibt es Todesopfer. Die Nazis nutzen Sprengmaterial und Schusswaffen. Der russische Journalist Andrei Voronin von der Novaya Gazeta gibt im Interview einen Einblick in die gesellschaftlichen Hintergründe der Nazi-Gewalt. Er stellt die Rolle der Medien, Polizei und Justiz heraus und beschreibt den Rückhalt, den die Nazis in der russischen Bevölkerung haben.
Andrei, you're working as a journalist for a critical Russian newspaper. Which difficulties appear during this work? And maybe you can say something about the state repression which you have to deal with.
Okay, there are some problems, especially in other media, not in mine. I can see it from the work of other journalists, and they also speak about it, about problems which they have. So in most of media in Russia, journalists can't write what they want, because on any topics, I mean some important topics. The first is politics. In St. Petersburg is also architecture, and fascism problem also. It's not so simple to write what it is and what do you think. So, but I'm working in Novaya Gazeta, so I have a better situation. I can write what I want, but I have problems only with connecting to some information. So I can send some approaches in state organizations, but they don't answer me. So I'm asking, they are not answering, and I just can write that they didn't tell anything, so I can't find some information. It's hard.
Okay, let's come to the next question. How is your newspaper reporting about attacks and killings of anti-fascists? And how are the mainstream newspapers reporting this issue?
Our newspaper is close to ideology of Antifa, and so usually a trend to get the side of Antifa when they are attacking. There are some connections of our journalists with Antifa, and they are trying to write how the situation looks from Antifa, most close, but not, this is, I can tell you, it's not, we are making propaganda of Antifa, so it's a more neutral position. But because Antifa is better, so we are more on their side. And so officials, they just don't like this topic. They are trying to not see the problem. They may inform about some killings, like about Ivan Kostalon, but they don't like to work on it, to make some investigations. But I can tell that not long time ago, the situation in militia began changing. So I think 2 years ago, in militia, nobody thinks that there is a problem of fighting between FA and Antifa. But now they are beginning to understand it, and some fascists now are under arrest, and some investigations they making, and sometimes they even make investigations in this matter, so that there are not just some hooligan kills. So this is connected to the ideology, because usually in militia there is a practice to look on such killing and such fights as like just some young people don't like some other young people, and they are fighting, and there is nothing connected with fascism or anti-fascism. But now they are going close to another point of view.
When media writes about what Nazis do, are they more or less presented as lone operators? They're acting alone, they're single cases, or is the political dimension of their actions seen?
So there are different points of view, of course. Some of them present fascists and Nazis like young gangs, which are connected with football hooligans and grows from it. And they look on them like on hooligans most, and so there are some young people who just want to fight. Another point of view is that there are some fascists, so are talking about the ideology, because there was few gangs which was making bombs and all the terroristic acts, and some of the members were killed in, I think it's a few years ago, it was, because I remember the gang of Baravik, the most famous. I think there are these two topics to look on far from the official media. But when they are talking about fascists as a Nazi gang, so they are not connecting it with the ideology of society. They are talking about Nazi gangs like about this is something like from zoo. So very strange animals, nobody tried to understand where they come from. They are not telling about the political way of the state, so that it's very close to fascist ideology, and that all those young people, they just understand very well the tendency of our government.
Which position do police and judiciary take when anti-fascists are attacked?
Okay, as I remember, it was a case about killing of Timur Kacharava in St. Petersburg. It was killing of Antifa, but sometimes it looked like Antifa are under judge, under court. Also, militias, of course, they don't like Antifa. Police, because most very many of militias are fascists, and there are many publications in independent media in internet. There are internet independent media, and in some blogs, when people are talking about you know, the fascist banners in the militia offices, about like they call some part of militia station Gestapo, because there works investigators, and they made when they working with some arrested people, they torture them, and they like to call themselves as Gestapo workers. Well, but what about if to talk about real fascists which are arrested for some great crimes against Antifa? If they are arrested, so usually there are those people, so the real attackers are arrested. But if there was, I think, a gang of 30 people who was beating one or two Antifa, from these 30 people which are under court, only one takes the real punishment of, I think, 8-10 years, and all others, you know, they don't go in a jail at all. So in Russian it's uslovny srok, I don't know how to say it in English, so it's fake punishment. If they have, I think, 2-3 years, if they will make another crime, they will go in a jail. So if they will not make any crime, they will stay without punishment. Also, during the court, they are usually not imprisoned. They live freely. They just have to go on courts. And usually also all these attacks. So there was 30 people or 20 who are attacking some Antifa. And they was... crying, die, Antifa scum. But in the court, this case goes like hooligan action. So no, not connected with fascist or Antifa ideology. And this is very important because there are different punishment in our law. So if you look on it like on ideology attacking, this is more strict punishment they could take from it.
What do you think? How dangerous are Nazis in Russia? And can you give me a special example or numbers or something like that?
Okay, I don't know the numbers because I'm not concerned very well right now in it. I think 1 year ago it was very growing. In the beginning of 2009, it was the peak of attacks of in Moscow especially. Now, as I see from media, there are the attacks are lower, but you know about killing of 25 is open, and there are also attacks, and as I think we just have not enough information in media, because all information about attacks goes to militia, and they don't spare this information. Because if fascists are attacking Gastarbeiters, who are usually have not even any papers with them, if they are killed, nobody knows about it. So I think that fascists, they are concerned on attacking such people, who nobody will look for them. So that's why we can't have some statistics at all. Well, about specific attacks, there was some actions after killing of Ivan Kaspalom, as you know, some marches and concerts, and in some of those actions was under attacks by FA in Russia and in Ukraine.
Do you have an explanation why there are so many more hate crimes in Russia than in other countries?
I think it's because the main tendency of government is pro-fascist. In the ideology, in the modern ideology of Russia, the difference with fascist ideology is only racism. So racism is not the part of official ideology, and all other parts, like a country surrounded by enemies, and we have many enemies inside, we have to fight with them, and we have to respect ourselves, because we was under, you know, under some pressure from America at first, now we are like standing on our knees, and now we have to rise up from our knees and feel the proud of our country. All this ideology is everywhere, is in new films, in new soap operas, in the TV, in reclaim also. They use this tendency to show how we are proud of being Russians and how we have to protect our proud. This ideology is very popular because it's explained why we are living so bad, because the level of living in Russia is very low. Most of people can't afford themselves even good food or even good clothes. Nobody from the low, so I think 80% of people living in Russia can't buy any house, any apartment. They can just change, selling one apartment and buy another. But if there is, in a family there are some children who want to live in a new apartment, they can't do this because they can't buy, and they have no possibility at all to get some new place to live. And if to begin thinking why this is happening, there are some answers which most people don't like to see those answers. So they like to find more simple answers. And the simplest is this one, that there are some pressure from outside and they have no blame themselves that they are doing something wrong. So they don't try to change something.
Do you know how anti-fascists react to these attacks? And are there options for action left for them, or do they retreat into their private life?
Okay, I think Antifa, of course, they react, and they, some of them react aggressively. As you know, Ivan Castellon, which was killed, he was active Antifa 2 years ago. All Antifa actions was peaceful. Now I don't know. I think there are some fighting brigades. I don't heard about some Antifa going to private life. I think there are, but this is the just normal following of life. So young people are most interested in it, and if some of them became more old, they have families now and they go away from it. But this is, I think, not because of the threat of Nazi. I think even that Antifa ranks are growing now because of this pressure from state and from Nazi attacks, and the ideology of Antifa became more popular, I think, in underground, in subcultures. So usually Antifa reacting on attacks is everywhere. They are making marches, concerts, and kind of this. I was on one action of street act, or I don't know how to translate Primoy Disco in Russian. Antifa, they couldn't take the permission from the state to make their march, and they made it without permission very fast. They was going on some pedestrian street, and it was action against militia. Militia doesn't respect the law. They are attacking anyone, they are robbing anyone, and this action was against this. And they was going very fast, crying their lozenges, and when they saw that some militias begin speaking in their phones, calling some reinforcements, they just disappear, and it was action of 10 or 15 minutes, very fast and very noticeable. There were many people which saw this, and they was interested about it. Nobody understood what happened, but maybe somebody understood. So what, I think this is the most popular between Antifa way of reacting, to show that they are not agree with what is happening. Killings, attacks, or militia, it doesn't work well, or maybe some other reasons. This Sunday it was action about the not killing animals, because in Russia vegetarians and vegans are very connected with Antifa, and this almost the one company. Most of Antifa are vegetarian or vegans. Maybe not most, but many. They are making actions also, do not wearing furs, do not kill animals, and do not eat meat.
Thank you very much for the interview, Andrei.
Das war das Interview mit Andrei Voronin, Journalist bei der Novaya Gazeta.